tenth, 2014, will come to order. Please turn off the sirens, electronic devices. Ms. Bourgeois, please sit in place, please.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Call roll, please.
Councilmember Rose.
Here.
Councilmember Bourgeois.
Here.
Councilmember Lucero.
Here.
Councilmember Andre.
Here.
Councilmember Nisler.
Here.
Chairman Costa.
Here.
Mayor Norman.
Here. Tonight, we have the honor of having Mr. Dino Moran, our 911 director, to give us a status on how the 911 office is doing.
All right.
Sure.
Microphone.
I asked him just to give us a brief summary of how, you know, how it works.
Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah, just real quick, our 911 center, we're central communication for the whole parish. So if you got a 911 inside this parish from a landline, it's automatically coming. Cell phone, you gotta remember, it's gonna hit the closest tower. So always give what parish you're in. Very possible from right here, you would hit EBR. It's by tower. So make sure you do that. In our center, we keep two dispatchers around the clock. Our busy time is from 10 in the morning, we have pretty much figured out, to 10 at night. So we put a third person in there as a swing person. So that's one to answer 911 calls, one to dispatch law, and one to dispatch fire, basically. Now, come 4:30 in the evening, we pretty much become the answering service of the parish.
Dino, stop just saying that. Mr. Jordan, this is Dino with the Office of Homeland Security Center with our central communications.
How you doing, Mr. Dino?
Dino, we have you of how our system works when we call.
Yeah, so at 4:30 in the evening, or if Ms. Gale is basically, and I don't know if I should put it like that, but if Ms. Gale's off, or leaves off, if she transfers her phone to our 9 emergency number, it don't ring on the 911 console, it rings on our 9 emergency. We can see where it's from, we answer it. And if they need an officer, we'll send the officer out. But it's pretty much automatic. Per year, we're hitting somewhere around 33,000 calls, emergency and non-emergency calls into the center. This year, with the icy bits, we're going to blow the numbers way away. So that's a real quick overview, but at 4:30, pretty much religiously, they pretty much answer a phone, hey, Ms. Gill. And she says she's rolling her phones over. On her days off, we pretty much, they'll roll the phones over to us, unless Mr. Ned or the other guy, I can't remember his name, is in their office. Now, the positive, if you ever have any questions, I tell anybody, it's my best friend or my worst enemy. All of our calls into the 911 center, emergency and non-emergency, is recorded. And it's through a recorder that I can't even touch. It belongs to higher ground. Only they could go in and do any administrative work to it. No one in my office did. So that way, all of our phone calls are recorded. For the fire service, we just done for ruling them. We have a minute to answer, pick up and answer a 911 call, or we kill their rating, every person there. So that's just a brief overview. Now, if someone has any specific questions, I can't hear you. If we have a choice, answer that 911, 9 emergency. There are instructions to answer 911. But I don't know of any time besides like the ice event maybe that we didn't catch every call and we pull extra people in to do that. Your 911 trunks is basically, we have three lines that came in. If three lines ring the same exact minute, the fourth call is going to automatically go to Baton Rouge 911 center and they'll answer it for us and relay it back to us. That's a quick overview.
How many years we on now, do you know?
For doing it the way we're doing now?
Yeah.
Seven years.
Could you just give them that number for non-emergency, please?
Yes, ma'am. It's area code 8599.
A year or two ago, I had an experience. Somebody fainted in church, and I called 911, and somebody answered. And I said, we have a problem. Can you send the people with the fire department out to the church? And they said, well, what's the address? And I said, believe me, everybody in the fire department, just tell them St. John the Baptist Church. He said, well, I need the address. The guy never would tell me that he was in East Baton Rouge. Finally, we figured out, I don't know how we figured out, that East Baton Rouge had answered the call. So that's something.
It hit on that cell phone?
Yeah, I called him cell phone, you know, and it took a while, because I thought, why does he keep asking me for the address? Because everybody knows what St. John the Baptist Church is. But what I didn't realize, I was talking to somebody from East Baton. And that's important. There's a lot of people alone here.
Should ask, because I'm telling you, inside of our own center, if I dial 911, I'm going to Baton Rouge. So remember that.
On cell.
On your cell, right. Now, next thing, remember, if you live in this parish, a bunch of people have got rid of their landlines. Our ring down system, which we pay a lot of money to belong to. If there's an emergency in Bruley, or if we have an emergency message to send out, we use it. If you don't have a house phone, you're not done yet. Go in and register your cell phone. It's secure. They cannot get your number away and sell it, but if you have it registered to your home address and there's anything going on in that area that we're going to shelter in place, evacuate, or if it's an emergency message that Joey has, it will ring on your cell phone. So if you.
Where can they register for that?
You could call our office, or you could go online to WBRLEPC, and there's a drop down deal in there to register it. But y'all, that's really important to do.
Yeah, I know they had trouble with that, because when I was trying to register my cell phone, I had to call and get.
Lisa to do it?
Yeah, I had to get her to do it. But Dino, do they know that, does like the local area know that if you're using your cell phone, you may get East Baton Rouge?
Does the local people?
I mean, like,
everywhere I go, I preach this over and over. We put it in the little peewee paper.
That's what
I'm saying. We put it in anywhere I could blast that message out, we do, because that's our number one thing.
Yeah.
All day long, we get calls from other parishes. Plaquemine has a sugar house room or lane. It must be a little bit rougher neighborhood. I assure you, we get a lot of calls. We have a sugar house lane, so we have learned that cell phones, we can pinpoint them within.
Don't call for him.
A cell phone, we peg it within. They say it's 900 feet. We actually get closer than that. We just paid LSU students, it was through an intern program, a fee to go in. In every physical address, we now have it pinpointed down that when you call in, automatically it pops up in front of my dispatchers on their map. That's landline. Cell phones, a dot pops up at the tower that you're calling from, not the actual location. If it's a newer smartphone, it's the actual location within 300 feet. Joey's looking at me, my 5 minutes is up, I'm sure.
I will allow him to exceed 5 minutes if there's any other questions.
Yeah, if there's any other questions.
So if you let Dino go, we'll be here till midnight.
I do remember, anybody's welcome to come take a tour at any time. Just call us during daytime hours. Come see it, it's pretty.
It's really nice.
Yeah, it is.
Really, really nice.
A couple of things I discovered after last week's meeting. If you open the Baton Rouge door and I looked at it, I don't know one day. And it's on irons, you know, it's the yellow thing, it's our Baton Rouge business. If you look up Bruley Police Department, it gives a phone number to the school resource office. I don't know how we go about getting that changed.
That's in the Baton Rouge book or the Little Red book?
Baton Rouge book. I haven't checked the Little Red one yet.
The Little Red one's got all kinds of issues.
Yeah.
They copy.
Whatever.
And that's the first number Mr. Jordan called, you know, was the school resource.
411 has that number too.
Yeah.
That number.
So what I'm going to do is I'm going to have some magnets made up. I'm going to get with Dino and get important numbers from Dino, here at the fire department, the town. I'm going to try to get them out to every resident that we can. Then city limits is right outside.
All right. Any other questions?
Y'all remember cell phones that you're throwing away, you give them to your grandkids, 911 still dials. Them 30-some thousand calls we get, more likely half of them are kids playing on disconnect phones, calling 911, and the number don't even come back up, so we can't even trace it. We just got to sit there and keep trying to get them to please don't do it again.
All Thank you, Dino.
All right, thank you.
Thank you.
I didn't know that. All right, approval of minutes of the regular meeting of February 10th. They're in the package. Do I hear a motion? Who about Ms. Bujwa?
I say.
Second, Mr. Rhodes. Any comments from the audience? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, nay. Committee reports, public works, I don't have anything. I'll cover something in the mayor's report, it's not important. Planning and zoning, consider preliminary plat, Arlene's West subdivision, second filing. Proposed lots 1 through 7 located such and such for Dagger LLC with variance requests, non-compliance, section 1910D, dead-end streets, cul-de-sac, and non-compliance, 1918 improvements, F, utilities, water, and gas. This thing was reported out favorably, I'm sorry, my bad. It was not reported out favorably in the planning commission, it was reported out with no recommendation. It was discussed last week at the committee meetings. There's been a lot of public comment, and I think there's going to be some more. So what I'd like to do is see if there's even going to be a motion for acceptance or rejection of it. And then at that point, I'll open it up for public comment and then turn it over to council for their consideration. So what is the pleasure of the council?
We discussed it pretty heavily last week at the committee meeting. This is a unique subdivision for sure because they only have houses on one side. And the people that bought those houses had to pay a premium, I think, because they paid 100% of the street costs and the utility costs, with the revenues only being 50% because of the half of the number of houses that a normal subdivision would have in it. I don't think that we know what's going to happen in the future across from the current residents, but there is a good probability that it will develop to the north. The seven lots that are in the subdivision could further be subdivided into a maximum of about 24 additional lots if every one who bought were to re-subdivide and meet the lots not fronting on a public street requirement in the subdivision regulations. There's two variances requested with the subdivision. One, the first one listed is in regards to the cul-de-sacs. I don't think it's prudent planning to require a cul-de-sac on a street that serves one lot on each side. However, if, I don't know how the rest of the council feels, but I feel like that we should grant the variance that they're requesting and allow a dead-end street. But I think that if we do allow a dead-end street in lieu of a cul-de-sac, that we should require the subdivider to provide a galvanized metal guardrail on the end of the street with dead-end signs in all four streets. In regards to the utility requirements of the subdivision, I don't think that we ought to grant that variance because we don't, as I said, could develop in the future and to have single tie-ins is not the way to go. We should make them meet the requirements of all the utility requirement sizing and the subdivision regulations. So it's my feeling that that we would grant the variance in regards to the cul-de-sac might be required if they would put the guardrails on the end and deny the request for a variance on the utilities and require the full utilities that the subdivision ordinance requires. That's the way I feel about it.
Is there a motion?
So move that we approve it with those stipulations.
Okay.
Approving one and disapproving the other.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Second, Mr. Andre. Okay, at this time, I will open the floor for public comment. And anyone having a public comment, please come up to the microphone, state your name, and go from there.
Sean Heinle with Alvin Fairhurst and Associates, with the civil consultants for the project. I guess, just to discuss what you're talking about, the utilities, we have no plans to further subdivide. We can't subdivide our property anymore. That's the reason we're requesting the variance and not requiring the mains. If somebody in the future farther down the road cares to subdivide their property, they'll be required to put in a maintenance. And I heard it's necessary. We have no desire now or in the future to do that. That's why we're requesting that variance.
But then you come back across the road again when they further subdivide, where if the main comes across now, you tie in on that property, not tearing up the street again. And you propose to bore the street?
Correct, yes, sir.
We've had the last two borings at Brule Oaks and the boring across from the school. When we tried to bore, ran into muck. So they had to go ahead and cut the street up. So we don't know what you're gonna find down there. So it's a possibility that you will be cutting the street if you can't bore, you know.
Yeah, and if we did it and the street failed, obviously we'd be responsible for it.
On the cul-de-sacs, do you see a problem with the requirement for putting barriers on the end?
No.
Okay.
Anyone else?
Rusty Daigle, 1755, Old Lee's Corner Drive. Mr. Neese, thank you for your comments and your opinion on that. I just have a few minutes for the council members that are new that wasn't here when the development first started. Mr. Rhodes, Bruce Short, and Mr. Neese, you weren't here for the first Old Lee's West development. But there's something key that I think we need to know, and that is in August of 2011, there was some correspondence between the developer, Dagger, and the Orleans Forest Homeowners Association. In that correspondence, Dagger was aware that Orleans Forest residents owned a piece of landscape servitude that was donated to us in 2007. Okay? It wasn't until 2012 that they actually purchased the lot. So they purchased it being conscious that we actually own this property. Normally when somebody makes a conscious decision on purchasing something and regret it, it's called buyer's remorse. What Dagger did was they sued the residents. Now these are residents that are taxpaying citizens of Brule, better than 40 years. Unlike the developer in Central and Bellingrass Estates, who doesn't have a tax base here in the town, let alone the parish. Nonetheless, in the lawsuit, it states, and this is a declaratory judgment by James Best on reading this, this is quote, it says, Orleans Quarters Homeowners Association remains the dominant estate for those who use the servitude which was created through the act of donation. I'm gonna get to a point. I know I'm a little long-winded, I apologize. It says the owner of the servitude estate, which would be Dagger, may not do nothing tending to diminish or make more inconvenient the use of the servitude. So that's what prohibited them from basically gaining access across our property. It goes on further state, it says the factual circumstances in the case involve long landscape servitudes that form a walkway complete with a sidewalk and benches. In fact, they are referred to as walkways in the act of donation. And this is key, it says this consistent purpose for all four servitudes, along with their being located in a residential area, creates a unique value and use to the dominant estates, Orleans Quarters Homeowners Association, causing that servitude to be interrupted to up to 36 driveways, therefore would inconvenience Orleans Quarters Homeowners members who currently enjoy the walkway without the possibility of cars driving across it. Now, why is that important? What Dagger is attempting to do now is basically circumvent what a judge in West Baton Rouge Parish said they couldn't do. Whether it's three across or whether it's 34 that they propose, they're still doing the same thing. They're interrupting a contiguous one sidewalk that's formed for the use of those residents. I understand that there's a right of way. That's what people are going to say. I think there's a little speculation in the use of that right-of-way. I think it was there, and this is opinion, not fact that I just said, was that it was there for future development, for expansion, not to build a dead-end road and try to accommodate seven homes. The second item that the mayor touched on briefly is that at the PNC meeting, which these members are appointed, or cherry-picked, if you will, and who they would like to serve, did not provide a recommendation for approval. And I think that speaks volumes. had it came out of the P&amp;Z with unanimous vote and want to approve it, I think you'd give more consideration. But they could not come to an agreement that they wanted to approve or disapprove this particular piece of property. I think that's very important. I mean, these are our members that are selected, perhaps some by even the council members. The third reason, not necessarily in any order, is the variances. Because variances are being requested, and as you mentioned, it now gives the discretion to the council. Unlike the original filing, in which it was argued that there was variances, those were not requested, were approved after the fact, but they're coming to you now with variances. Well, now it's at your discretion. You have the ability to deny the variances and basically deny the plat. The configurations of the homes, as you know, will face east and west. There's no other homes in that subdivision. The first 30 homes are custom built. And you are correct, there was a premium paid for that particular piece of property, and that's a premium that the homeowners do not care to lose. But now, if this is approved, you're going to have homes that are going to face east and west. The homeowners still retain the property that is considered a landscape servitude. Nothing would prohibit a homeowner from putting up a fence. While one may see it advantageous to the homeowner because you're fencing a third of their property, but I think it decreases the value of their home across the street. Why would you live where some, you could never see the home. It would never front on a public road other than a 94-foot, if I remember correctly, dead-end street. So I don't really see the rationale or the understanding why we would give consideration for approval for seven homes. And I guess in closing, what I'm battling is that a bad investment, I do not think obligates the council to accommodate. I don't think you have to make accommodation to Dager just because they made a purchase. And now they're coming to you saying, well, look, I got this property. I need to do something with it, so let me put seven homes facing opposite directions. You don't have to grant that. You didn't tell them to purchase the property. They made a conscious decision, even after they knew in August of 2011 that we owned the property. So the lawsuit actually came out of, if you don't know, it was favorable for the homeowners, so we were successful in denying them that access. That was on May the 7th of 2013. So not quite a full year yet, and they're already trying to circumvent the ruling. So I just ask that you give consideration to that. I don't know of another reason why to approve the property. I don't think you're gonna find any people advocating for it other than the developers themselves. And they stand to make money. And they stand to make an increased margin in that money because they're not having to lay any servitude. They want to vanish and not even put the main. They want to use the road that we constructed and built. And I say we, meaning frankly the town is now donated and those residents that purchased in. So if they get this, it's only just increasing more. Believe me, there's 77, 84 homes coming from the back. They're going to make this thing. They're going to get what they're coming after. So if you have any questions for me, that's it. But I appreciate your time and consideration. Thank you.
Next. Anyone else?
I'm Cheryl Cornell. I live at 1735 on Lynch Quarter Drive. And Rusty pretty much laid out exactly what we've gone through, and this has been 3 years since all this started. And it's been a nightmare, and it's been a lot of work and a lot of effort and a lot of money on part of us already that we've already had to pay. And their big claim to fame when they were presenting the original plat for the whole back part was they weren't asking for any variances. No variances, there's none. And now it's been variance after variance after variance after variance, and they're asking for none. And, you know, they continue to get granted. So I don't see how you can come to the council, ask for development, and tout the fact that you don't have variances, and then all you do is ask for variances, and you approve them. So, I mean, I don't understand how that's an acceptable thing, and you go by their word that they're not going to ask for variances, and that's the way it is. So it kind of leaves us holding the bag, and we've lost a lot of it.
Next. Is that all the public comment? Rusty?
Yes, sir.
Y'all done?
I'd like to come back up and mention something else. Is that okay?
Yeah, I'd rather that than have it.
Well, I didn't know. I'm not familiar with this. I'm the next council, and Mr. Neesler, you may be knowledgeable on this, having on the CRCP, I believe, in your, at the time, but.
CRC.
CRPC.
CRP.
It's close enough. We know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
There's two other things I think that need to be considered in reference to the variances, and that is the sewer. I'm not certain how they're going to tie into the sewer system for these particular homes. My understanding is that one lift station supplies about half of the residents in all these quarters because it actually goes up to a slope, and then the remaining are supplied by another lift station. Those are considerations that I think the council needs to look at, because should you approve this, then I think you're going to have issues with sewage after the fact. The last right-of-way that they intend on accessing, there's currently there's culverts right there to assist in the drain. So if they're going to build a road, I think you're going to find that unless they look at the plat very carefully, then they're going to come back and ask for another variance, because I don't think they're going to lay over the drains that are existing there now. I didn't mention anything about the drainage there. I beat that horse on the very first one, but now all of the water accumulates on our walkway and in our service area. Pictures worth a thousand words, and I have them. Once you put an impervious surface or concrete down, the shed, the runoff is just going to accumulate even greater in that area. So I think those are just some other little inconsistencies that we need to consider.
Okay, don't want to leave anybody out.
I have a question for the developer. Is this property landlocked? Is this the only route into your property?
It's not, actually. Mr. Daigle's correct. There is a five-foot servitude, as it was called when it was dedicated, that was dedicated to the homeowners association. It's not contiguous. It's actually broken into four sections. The three sections that we own, there's three 50-foot sections, and that's where we're proposing our street. It was specifically dedicated for access. That's what it was intended for originally.
No, I guess, let me restate my question. Is there any other way to get to the property than Holdings Quarters Street? It's landlocked, right, other than that one right away?
That's not correct. North of Bow has access.
There's actually, you know, the house at the end has been subdivided.
Okay, so there's no access to get to the property, right?
I'm
asking because I don't know.
At one of the council meetings, that point was brought up.
No, just a second. We're not going to have yelling and screaming back and forth, okay? What about access from that right-of-way, like at the end of the original street, that right-of-way you can come in from that way? Yeah, I mean, you know, if you go all the way to the end and get on that right-of-way that and then come back, you'd actually have access there.
But right, I mean, you have the same situation we have there. And that's why we're actually proposing to pay that
like
right-of-way.
Like right here.
Yes, sir. That's where the culverts are.
That's the only access right there, right now.
But that one we have.
Well, you have these other accesses in there. Okay, gotcha. Go ahead.
But you don't own the property on the other side, and you don't own an access from North of Bow before you after all.
The house at the end.
Right, they own all that.
Okay, Mr. Mayor.
I just want to make Joe Marine, 1827 Leeds Court. I just want to point out that when the first property was subdivided and sold, prior to it being subdivided, came before the council, and the question was asked, by doing so, are we landlocking the properties behind that first lot? They knew about it at the time they made the subdivision. They subdivided it and sold that property. Otherwise, they also had access to more of the Bow Street.
Right, coming to the front.
Correct. But again, they made a conscious decision to subdivide it and was asked by the council before subdividing. They got approval to subdivide it and sold the two.
Okay. All right. One more time. Anybody else? Anybody? Don't want anybody to be left out. Okay. Council, it's your deliberation now. Having heard the public comment and some of you at the plant commission meeting, and we talked about it last week, and as a motion and a second on the floor, and it's your turn to talk.
I got a couple of things I'd like to add. When all these quarters was built, how many variances did they get?
I don't know.
27.
That's a question, because I didn't. One other question is there any way that all these quarters will be willing to come to agreement? 5-foot strip, so that the developer could put houses facing all these quarters and not have them east and west? I'm just asking that.
And if you're asking it exclusively to me, I can't speak for the rest of the.
No, it could be a group discussion.
But for me, the answer would be no. We spent a lot of money, Terry, and I mean a lot of money, to defend a frivolous lawsuit that they were aware they wouldn't win. But they did it because they had deep pockets, and a homeowner necessarily doesn't. You know, we have funding to just support the utilities, the irrigation, and maybe the grass cutting, landscaping, small. There's no money in there to defend a lawsuit. Believe me, they were well aware of that. Now, the property in question that he's saying he owns is also a part of that we own, correct? Because if you're saying it's a right of way, then we own the first 5-foot, that's what the whole question was about.
Those, there are, the 60-foot rights of way that on this map that they dedicate on what used to be the Malasaw property are an extension of rights of way dedicated to the town of Brule in the original Orleans Quarter subdivision that predate the 5-foot, and for those, for that 50-foot, 60-foot width, they override any landscape servitude, because they are public servitudes of access. And so the homeowners association cannot keep the town and any extension from tying into that and from crossing those servitudes of access.
You're correct. I apologize, you are correct. That 2002 was from Christina Peck, and you're correct. I think the intent of that was to develop to the north. And what it does is, you're correct, it allows for the access, but that doesn't mean that the access needs to be granted to a developer. It means that the access could be denied, because if the town, if it's given to the town doesn't have to agree to it, is what I'm saying.
Okay, but if a developer, as it was done here, as is being done specifically at the town's request, if they extend the existing right of way, which they have done for the width that it currently exists across the 5-foot servitude, they have done that and are proposing to develop it to require ordinance public road standards. All of the things that were said here, hold on, all of the things that were said here are all in the purview of the council's decision. Whatever the council says, that's what's going to happen. The point that Tom needed to make was that there's no legal impediment in those, as it relates to those openings right there. That's his legal opinion, and the council still has the ball, and they're the ones who decide. Anybody else?
I don't have any more questions.
Any comments? Are we ready?
I have one more comment. I don't live there, but if I lived there, I would go to the homeowners association. I would not want to look across the street to the sides of houses and utility sheds. I would want to look across the nice landscaped front yard. I would see if I couldn't work out something to where the configuration of the subdivision has changed.
The biggest problem with that is that Dagger doesn't build custom homes.
Say again?
Dagger doesn't build custom homes. Dagger has X, Y, and Z, you pick what you get.
Gerald, they don't own the property, but if you want to talk, come with the microphone, we need to get your comments.
Well, it's them that are asking for the request. If I'm not mistaken, doesn't it say that Dagger LLC is the one who's requesting the variance?
She said DSLD. Okay, my bad. I thought you said DSLD didn't build custom homes.
No, Dagger doesn't build custom.
They don't build homes at all? They don't build homes at all?
No, they're just developers. But Dagger does not build custom homes.
That's right.
I mean, you get to pick A, B, C, and D. I don't have anything against that. My daughter actually lives in a house I built by them. She was all panicky when she knew I was going through all this, and she was buying one of their houses. I said, you're buying into a neighborhood, that's all there is. So that's not a problem. Everybody's on the same playing field, but we're not on the same playing field. That's our point, is that you're asking us to allow somebody to come in and build houses far smaller than ours, with every third house looking the same, in a neighborhood that was designed and developed as good development with a big sign out front of it when it was first put out there, because it was custom homes. And now you're changing our rules. And I really think it's unfair to the people who live there.
Okay, council, keep going. Just ready to vote. Don't tell me when.
Please repeat.
Motion is to approve the subdivision, but the request on the two variances to approve the request for a variance on the cul-de-sac with the stipulation that a galvanized metal M barrier, standard traffic barrier, be placed at the end of each with a dead-end sign, and to disapprove the request for a variance to not require main lines. We would want to require the main utility lines across there, for in case of future development, either to the north or some of these lots being further subdivided.
Any other council members have any further discussion? All right, hearing none, we'll have a roll call vote. A yes means the in favor of Don's motion. A no means not in favor of Don's motion.
Councilmember Bozeman?
Yes.
Councilmember Meisler?
Yes.
Councilmember Rhodes?
No.
Councilmember Richard?
Yes.
Councilmember Andre?
Yes.
Okay, next item. Consider final plat showing the re-subdivision of 16.256 acre tract into tracts HT1 and HT2 located in such and such Western Mississippi River, Town of Bruley, Parish of West Baton Rouge, for Cuba, Thibodeau.
Did you take any more long condition meeting too?
Yep.
I move.
I'll second.
Move by Mr. Andre, second by Mr. Rhodes. Any discussion, any comments from the audience? Any discussion from the council? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed nay. Ayes have it. Next is Finance Committee. I don't have anything. Personnel Committee. I don't have anything. Recreation Committee. I'm not aware of anything except the Bruley wrestling team dominated at the state tournament. Police Committee. Consider hiring full-time officer Casey Peralt.
As I talked about last week, we still have our opening in the police department. Casey's here tonight. She works for us part-time now for the past few months. She'd like to come to work full-time for us, and I'd like to recommend to the council that we hire her at the rate we had her approved at a part-time rate of $15 an hour. I've had the opportunity to work side-by-side with her, and I'm proud to say she's a very good police officer. I'm happy she is choosing to come to Bruley, you know, to leave a home where she's made in Plaquemine with their police department. It was a hard decision for her to make. But I'd like to ask that we approve her and have her here with us. She's passed all her requisite tests, psych tests. She's been through the police academy, and I'd like to have her fill out full-time spot.
I move.
I second.
Move by Ms. Andre, second by Mr. Richard. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed nay. Ayes have it. And I have to say, I pulled her aside before because I just wanted to make sure in my own mind that she had patrolled by herself before.
Oh yeah.
Well, I mean, yeah, she, and with that red hair, I'm sure she can handle it. I'm sure that and a taser gun, and she can handle it for sure.
Would you do that taser down on him?
Well, but I, you know, I just wanted to hear it because I, you know, I mean,
I've seen it. I've seen her handle herself with my own eyes. She's very professional. She's They taught her well down there, and unfortunately, we have a little better pay and better benefits, and able to get her to come this way.
Well, as I say, whenever we hire a police officer, remember you carry a symbol on you that has Bruley on it, and you carry a gun, and also you carry more responsibility probably on the street than any of us do. So be aware of that. Welcome aboard.
Thank you.
Governmental Affairs. Chief, you didn't have anything else?
No, I haven't.
Governmental Affairs. None. Consideration of vetoed ordinances. Hearing and final action on ordinances. Introduction of ordinances. Anybody like to introduce the flood damage? introduced by Ms. Bourgeois. Resolutions and commendations. Ms. Rosa Stelly, would you please step forward? This is a certificate that the council would like me to present to you. Certificate of Appreciation awarded to Rosa Stelly on behalf of the mayor and town council for 13 years of loyal and dedicated service as a member and officer of the Town of Ruley Planning and Zoning Commission. And we thank you very much. Thank you, Ms. Rosa. Appreciate it.
You better read it, Rosa. It's real hard to read it.
Fine print.
And Rosa figured out that I never tell anybody when their reappointment comes up, so she wrote me a letter and said she was resigned. So she caught me. Department reports, fire department.
Calls for the month of February. First aid calls inside the town, we had 5. Outside, we had 14. Fire calls inside the town, we had 1. It's a curtain fire. And outside the town, we had none. Had 1 fire investigation, 1 vehicle fire, 1 gas leak. For a change, we had no motor vehicle crashes. For the month, we had 23 calls. And for the year, we had 47.
Any questions or comments? All right. Police department, chief.
For the month of February, we had 7 arrests, 10 bench warrant arrests, 3 were for Ward 3, 8 were for us. 1 theft, that was with the magazine salesman that we talked about last week. 4 alarm calls, 3 of which were residential, 1 business alarm, 1 drug arrest, 1 juvenile matter, 20 traffic arrests, 8 miscellaneous calls consisting of stalled vehicle, child custody issues, 911 hang-up calls, and removal of unwanted persons. We had 52 calls for the month. We wrote 272 citations with 385 violations on those citations. In the past week, we have done some traffic control on Lloyd Drive. We've written up a handful of tickets, one of which ironically had to be booked for not signing the ticket. Just not with Mr. Jordan when he left, when he heard that.
No, I didn't go nowhere. I just told you.
I have a question for Jamie. Did you contact the little lady about the misunderstanding of communication?
I stopped by one day and didn't catch her, but I do have it on my list this week to do.
So my understanding is you've got 5 speeders on Lloyd Drive.
No, it may be a little more, Mr. Jordan. I'm not
just
sure.
A little bit more. In how many days?
In a week.
Okay. I bet if you go to Arlene, if you go to the next neighborhood, you catch the same amount.
Yes, sir. We're going to move around. We're all going to move around.
Okay.
Okay, anybody else? All right. Correspondence. We had an important piece of correspondence from Cox Communication. I just want y'all to know that your Fox Business, Fox Business HD, FXX, and FXX AD channel numbers are changing. If you need them, I have them. I know that's important to all of you. But I got a certified letter telling us that.
It's not going to cost us anything?
No, I don't think it's a rate increase this time. They just tell us the channel changes.
But it's just increase.
Yeah. But every other month
they send me one. Mayor's report. I don't know if y'all remember or not, but we put money in the budgets to. We had a big old pile of concrete out of the sewer pond and culverts that have broken culverts and stuff we've been saving for decades. And we found out that people will come get it if we just give it to them and for free. So all that's been removed. You go out to the sewer pond, you won't see that mountain of concrete anymore. The maintenance barn for years has had a few letters missing from the words maintenance and all that, and they've been put up, so you might want to take a look at that when you pass in that direction. As I said last week, Wayne Delapas is back from 2.5, he says 2.5, it actually was 3 weeks sick. and he's doing really good. He's at full force now. He's moving around like he normally does. So he's back. But the bad news is, Mr. Don Manuel, we got a report today from his son, and I don't think it's appropriate for me to talk about details of medical, but it's, let me say that he definitely needs our prayers, because he's a very, very, he's in a very, very touch and go situation right now. So keep him in your prayers, and that's all I have. Remarks of personal privilege, anyone?
I just have a question that on, what's for you, but on the boat, that house that has all that garbage, just, do y'all pick that up on a regular basis, or what's going to happen with all that?
Wait a minute, you're talking about garbage in the yard or up on the road?
No, it's actually up on the road. It's everywhere.
Yeah, well, in fact, one of our guys came in and told Wayne about it today. He said, man, there's stuff flying off. So this is the week that Allied, or whatever they call it now, is supposed to pick it up. And we're going to let them pick it up. And if they don't pick it up, we'll go out there and clean it up. And, you know, it's a mess. I mean, and if a wind comes out.
It looked like they went there to see what they could get.
Well, it might have been some animals in there or something. I don't know.
They had a guy digging in the
house. Oh, yeah. Well, that's nice. But anyway, this is the week they pick it up. And if they don't pick it up, we're going to go and pick it up, because it's going to make a mess.
Do they pretty much pick up anything? They'll pick up washers, refrigerators?
They won't pick up tires, and they won't pick up. I'm not sure if they pick, they pick up refrigerators. They won't pick up tires, and they won't pick up paint cans. Of course, if the paint can is in the blue can, then they can't see it, then they pick up paint cans. I know a fella who does that. But anyway, they'll pick up just about anything, yeah. They pick up the small stuff by hand early in the week, you know, during the week, or sometimes the week before, that they can pick up by hand, and then later on in the week, they'll come with the grabber truck and pick up the heavy stuff. If it's not done by the end of the week, then you call us. Don't call them, call us. Because, you know, it won't work at all.
And there's also an individual who comes around in his pickup truck and
correct.
Picks up washers and dishwashers.
I was just curious, because, I mean, a lot of places won't even pick that up. I mean,
no,
especially
no, you know, I don't know how I could express myself adequately to say what a good job I think those people do for us. They are fabulous. I mean, the guy who does the brush, which is what they call brush, the stuff that's going on this week, he was hurt. He had surgery or something. He was out for like 3, 4, 5 months or something like that, and it was noticeable. This guy takes personal pride in the town, and he takes a personal offense if his stuff's not picked up. So, I mean, consider the old days when you used to have these garbage cans and people throw them in the ditches and all that stuff. My God, it's so much better now than it used to be. So I'm going to come to that defense unless something changes drastically. Anybody else?
Yeah, I have the date for the Landmark and Heritage Ceremony is April 13th.
That must be a Saturday or Sunday, right?
It's a Sunday. It's been changed since we first announced it, but we'll put it on the agenda for next month.
In the middle of the day, right?
3 p.m.
Okay. Make sure.
That's Palm Sunday.
Yep.
Good. Okay, Chief, you something?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Good stuff.
I have the pleasure of being invited to get some training with the Fort Allen Fire Department on a project that they got a grant on called Project Lifesaver. We had the press out there that day, the last Thursday and Friday. I'm making it, I'm compact the whole thing because it gets very technical. But at the end of the day, what this program does, there's some little transmitters that are about as big as a watch that autistic children or people with dementia, people that tend to wander away from their home, can be outfitted with this little thing on their wrist. And along with the grant came a receiver. It basically what it is, it's a microwave. We could ride in a vehicle. If we knew where the last place this person was seen and how long ago that it was and it's on, we could go there in our vehicle with this machine on, and we could ride around in a search pattern in the streets until we get a ping. Then the lottery pings, the closer we're getting to the person, we actually can get out of the car and walk and follow that ping And we found these little transmitter pieces all pulled out. And they were just sitting on swing sets, diving set it out, on a fence post somewhere. You know, so it's a grant that Fort Allen got for these things. It's done other places in the U.S. The West Side Journal was there, and I'm sure they're going to have an article, I think, coming out this week on this thing. It was on the news. And if you know anybody interested, you can contact Fort Allen Fire Department. Again, this is for people that may wonder. And we probably did 10 or 12 different searches, and we averaged a time of 11 minutes a search, I think is what the final report was. But it was five of us that did that, and I got invited by my new boss, Charles Stevens, to go and participate, and I did, and by going, we will all get certificates saying that we are certified to run this machine department.
Is that a charge?
Well, there's some charges for the machine and all that. For us to go out and find somebody? No. Yeah. But the family members of someone that's in need like that needs to get with Fort Allen Fire Department. They can give them all the necessary information and websites and all that kind of things. There's some stuff as a caretaker that individuals have to do. They've got to make sure the battery is fresh and that kind of mess. And they get trained to do that, and you keep documentation. But at the end of the day, we can get a call on any, as long as, you know, he's got one of these little buttons, because it's different frequencies. We can have as many as 10 or 15 in a parish, because they're not all going to have the same frequency. And we'll know what frequency to tune in on. We tune in, and away we go. And this was all brought about by a traumatic thing that happened to that young kid not long ago. So, yeah, again, it was my pleasure to do that. I really enjoyed myself and learned quite a bit.
Thank you.
Anybody else? From Mark's personal privilege. Anybody? Nobody? Okay. We have no announcements for the first time I can remember. And we need a motion to adjourn.
I second.
Ms. Andre, second. Or Ms. Rhodes, any comments from the audience? All those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no.
7:21.